I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome CC Chapman. CC helps people and brands convert passive consumers into passionate and invested advocates. He is the co-author of the bestseller, Content Rules, How to Create Killer Blogs, Podcasts, Videos, Ebooks, Webinars, and More that Engage Customers and Ignite Your Business. He's also the author of Amazing Things Will Happen, A Real World Guide on Achieving Success and Happiness. CC's clients include American Eagle Outfitters, Coca-Cola, HBO, and Warner Brothers. He also creates content for the emerging online dad market, marketing professionals, music fans, and more. CC co-founded The Advance Guard, a marketing agency, and after two stellar years, the company was acquired by Campfire. CC serves on the board of directors and is the president of the board for Wadico, and he also serves on the board of the Hockey Foundation. And CC lives in Massachusetts. CC, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm psyched to be here.
I'm so thrilled to have you on. I've done some poking around at some of the stuff that you have produced, and it's really fascinating. It really runs the gamut. And I just want to start off by reading two pieces that I saw on your blog that that I think will give the listeners a taste of sort of who you are and your perspective. The first one is, I don't know how to write what I have to say, but I knew that if I didn't start typing, they'd never come out. And that is from an article entitled, Humans, We Have a Problem. The second one is, a good dog is the soul of a happy family. Rest in peace, Roxy. And that one, not only was it so touching to read, but I read the comments that people made, and people were really moved by it. So you've really, not only have you opened up your heart to everyone, but you've also touched people in a really remarkable way. So I'd love if you could start off by talking about how those kinds of pieces, in general, have been emblematic of who you are and what you do and how you got to where you are now.
Sure. Yeah, sorry, I had to catch my thoughts because the one about Roxy, my dog, is less than 48 hours old. The post is less than 24 hours old, so the wound is rather raw. But one of the things that – the way I've always approached – I mean, I started blogging in 2002, and I've been online as long as I can remember. And my approach from day one has always just been to treat it more like a journal where the honesty and – just writing the way that I speak and the way I create. And it doesn't matter if I'm doing a video or a podcast. You know, I've been podcasting since 2004. I mean, they've always been just sit down, type it out, take the picture, record the podcast. And it's always my voice because it's just who I am. And I've always believed that that's the best way to approach anything you create. And it's, you know, before there was content marketing as a term, and, you know, being the guy that co-wrote the book on content marketing, I always laugh about it. But I mean, I believe the best creations come from the heart. And, you know, both those posts you mentioned were both, they were things that, you know, they're not a list. They're not a top 10. They're not something that's going to get millions of shares, and you know what, that's okay, because anything I've ever created, I don't create for that reason, because you see that. I mean, I could go right now online and I guarantee both of us could find, you know, the top 10 blank to do blank, or what I learned from this. And I just, you know, that's dialing it in. And I just have always approached my creations, whether it's a blog post, a book, or a speech I'm giving, I want to make sure that it's from my heart and from my brain, and that it's me. It's in, and it's always, there's no question when you read it that it's something I wrote. And that's just always been, that's my approach to life in general.
Mm-hmm. So how did you, let's talk a little bit about your approach to life and sure. how you got to where you are now.
Yeah.
Because you have a really interesting background, and you have also done a variety of different kinds of things in your life, both personally and professionally. And I think that you know, if you could tell a little bit of that, that also colors who you are and why you approach things the way you do. And I think people can learn from that.
Yeah, I mean, I have led a very blessed life, and blessed is probably the only word I can use to describe it, and a very lucky one. I mean, I grew up in small town New Hampshire. I'm a lifelong New Englander, you know, blue collar upbringing. You know, always loved the outdoors, always had good family values, you know, work hard. I mean, I saw my dad, you know, he's a forester and he did all kinds of jobs. And I went to college. I graduated from Bentley University, was told that I would never get in there. It was too elite. I couldn't afford it. All those things are true, and I somehow did it. I've never been one that accepted being told you can't do this. Whenever I get told that, it usually makes me go, "All right, let me prove you wrong." And I've also always wanted to create. You know, when I was little, I always said I wanted to be an artist when I grew up. What I was thinking then is a little different than what I was thinking now. But it was just one of those things where I've always experimented, whether it was, you know, the first time I touched a computer or the first time I thought about podcasting, or, you know, I was like, hey, let's make a music podcast. Okay, let's do that. You know, a few years later, I started going, hey, I want to do more marketing stuff. I had an independent film company that, you know, little micro budget stuff. And we had to do marketing somehow. It was the beginning of the web. I taught myself how to HTML code. Years later, became a marketing manager. A friend of mine was launching a marketing agency, and he said, hey, come join me. A couple years later, I started my own agency. And it's really been this really kind of ebb and flow of just seeing something that excites me, that I'm passionate about, and then starting to do it, and then without meaning to, somehow turning it into a business. I mean, you know, marketing, I started it just because, like I said, I was marketing films. And the next thing I know, I've got a really popular podcast, and I'm speaking all over the world, giving keynotes on everything from the early days of social media to content marketing to inspirational leadership sort of talks. And, you know, now I make a living. I just started a new agency focused in on social good and humanitarian efforts. And it's just, it's been a very weird, crazy road. And, you know, I tell it all the time that I couldn't do it without my loving and supporting wife, who, you know, we've been dating since I was a sophomore in high school. We have two great kids, and everything I do is to provide for them and to show them the life that I want them to lead too. And it's been a wild and crazy ride, but I've always figured out a way to make it work. And it's not always easy. It is not always without the ups and downs and the ebbs and flows, and the highs are really high and the lows can be really, really lows, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, you know, what strikes me, CC, is that you seem to be living life as though it doesn't have an instruction manual.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are looking for the instruction manual and try to follow it and get frustrated.
Yeah, and it's I don't know if this was meant to be a softball, but that's why I wrote the book Amazing Things Will Happen, because when people ask me why did I write that book, I said I wanted to write it as a guidebook to my kids for their life. It wasn't like a step one, step two, step three. The book was literally, you know, advice I had been given or beliefs I've read, you know, things that the way I sort of live my life, and I put it out, and I wanted to put it in paper for other people. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, you have to follow your heart. You have to provide for those that you love, and you got to really know what you want and then be willing to work super, super hard for it. Because I think the problem is, I think too many people are looking for the instruction manual, and they also assume things are going to be given to them or that they deserve it. And that's not the truth. Yes, some people get crazy lucky or they're born with a silver spoon, but the majority of people are working super, super hard, even if you don't see it. You know, like the internet has made it, people just magically assume that, oh, look, it all happened to them. No, they probably toiled away and are still hustling and working really, really hard to make it happen. And, you know, there's so few shortcuts in this world, but you're right. Everybody wants that instruction manual. Give me the 10 steps I need to succeed. And there's people have made millions of dollars writing books like that, but very few of them are actually the instruction manual people are looking for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, and another thing you mentioned is that you have lots of different kinds of ideas about things to pursue, and you do pursue them. In particular, if somebody tells you you can't do it, you like to pursue them. How do you determine, especially if you have more ideas than you have time to implement them, how do you decide which ideas to pursue first?
Yeah, there are never enough days to do everything you want in this world. That's for sure. And I have no shortage of ideas. I mean, I think it boils down to a couple of things. One, I trust my gut. That's one of the very first things. If something feels like that's not right, or Derek Sivers is this. He has this great thing called the Hell Yeah test, where if somebody approaches me about something and I don't go, oh hell yeah, I want to do that, maybe I shouldn't do it. Then I look at the time, how much time is it going to take away from other initiatives that I'm working on? How much time is it going to take away from my family or other things? And then also, how's it going to provide, with limited time and limited resources, not everything has to be a moneymaker for sure. I mean, that's for sure in my life, but I mean, it doesn't have to be. But at the same time, if it is going to take away, if you don't have your bases covered, if your bills aren't being paid, then you really got to limit those things that don't bring in the money.
Let's talk a little bit about marketing, which is,
sure.
which is one of your main areas of expertise. Why do people say marketing is about publishing great content?
Well, in today's world, and it's always been that way. I mean, let's face it, print, radio, television ads, events, spectaculars, that's all about content you're producing. And in today's world, where the majority of people are getting their information, their news, and their social interactions online, it does boil down to your content. It boils down to what you've created for your company. What does it tell about your story? How does it make the person feel? There's so much more going into this. Back in the days when it was the person with the biggest budget won, that car company that could get in front of it, that was on your television, on your radio, you were going to go look and buy that car. Now, you can have somebody pop up and if they make you feel good, or if they tell a good story, or they create an emotional response through the content they've created, suddenly you're on their radar. And you see this a lot now with small American-made brands and small businesses, where all of a sudden they're getting this devout following, where people are like, it's about more than just their marketing budget. It's about what they created and how they make me feel. And I think that's something that, for a long time, people thought that meant, oh, let's make a blog and we'll put out all kinds of stuff. And yeah, the technology is a piece of it. And the technology gives anybody the ability. I mean, I talk about it all the time. We carry around a full production studio in our pockets these days with our phones. I can do anything I want. I can create content galore. But at the end of the day, if it's good marketing is about creating emotional responses in people.
So for somebody who really hasn't focused on content creation
yep.
before, where's a good place to start? What are some good things to think about at the beginning?
Sure. So first and foremost, really figure out who you're trying to reach, first and foremost. You probably know the profile of your customers. Try to get very specific. Build profiles of your typical customers. Think about where they're spending their time online. Are they watching videos? Are they looking at pictures? Are they reading? Are they hanging out on Facebook? Just so you have a basic idea of where they're going. Then figure out how you want to tell your story. Figure out, what are our strengths? What do we have as far as budget? What do we have as far as skill sets? Because let's face it, you may really want to do like this really slick, cool video production, but you may not have no video equipment, or you may not have the budget to hire somebody. So maybe that's not the best idea. Start small, get some small wins, figure out, we'll start with writing, we'll start with photography. We've got this, I love taking pictures. Maybe I'll take some pictures. Start there and really figure out the story you want to tell. And it should not be that hard to figure out the story you want to tell if it's your business or if you really know your brand, because that's already been established. If you're starting out, if you're a brand new company, then you're figuring out your story. Figure out, are you going to be that loud, brash person? Are you going to be kind of quiet? Are you going to be educational? There's so many different ways to go until you find your voice.
Yeah. Is it also important to drill down and ask yourself why you're using particular metrics? So if sales is a metric, I think that's pretty obvious to most people. That's what drives your bottom line and pays your bills. But if you're measuring number of followers on Facebook or Twitter, or if you're measuring the number of subscribers to a newsletter, is it important to understand why you're measuring that?
Oh, for sure. Definitely. Because let's face it. Yeah. If you're starting from ground zero and suddenly your Twitter followers and Facebook followers are going up, that's a great thing. It means people are paying attention. Doesn't necessarily mean you're converting them to customers, though. And that can be dangerous. Same with newsletters. Really figure out, while all those things are important, and also just for your listeners, you can't measure everything because, you know, I might watch a video and then go buy your product, or I might, you know, see a friend who loves your product talking about it, and I might go buy your product. And you're never, ever going to know that. You know, I remember the old days when you used to have a field on almost every website on order that said, how did you find out about us? And you just don't see those anymore. And granted, 9 out of 10 times people ignored them, but the people actually answered them, that data is valuable to you as a business. If all of a sudden you keep seeing people say, oh, I saw this great video, or I saw about it on Twitter, that's maybe you should start paying attention. So yeah, definitely don't put too much stock just in the numbers. Because the other thing too is, you know, if like you put out this video and you only get 100 views, but maybe, you know, people are like, oh, that's a failure because it's not viral. Well, you know what? Most videos don't go viral. They don't get more than 1,000 views. I mean, that's the truth of the matter is, and I think people's perceptions of what success looks like is really messed up. And you've really got to figure out what is success to you, because it's going to be different than the company next door or your biggest competitor possibly.
Yeah. Look, if all you're looking for is 10 customers for success,
yeah,
and 100 views turns into 10 customers, it's a great success.
Exactly. It's the quality of the people that are attaching themselves to your brand and paying attention to what you create. It's the quality as well as the quantity. If it's I could make a video probably tomorrow and get 1 million views if I really, really wanted to. But if none of them converted, it doesn't matter. Most viral – I'm doing these big quotes because I hate the word viral video. most viral videos, you can't – if I asked you a week after you saw it, you wouldn't have even been able to tell me what the brand was. Oh, it was some funny thing. I don't remember. Some phone brand. I don't remember what it was, because you watch it for entertainment, you know? So, I mean, it's just – people need to have realistic expectations and goals and set them up front and then keep analyzing them and keep tweaking them as it goes on.
Yeah, so true. CeCe, where are some of the places where you've been stuck yourself?
Where I've been stuck?
Yeah.
My biggest fault, and it's still true to this day, I absolutely suck at business development. I really do. I am not good at going out, banging on doors and saying, I'm the guy you need to hire. And it's been my fault since day one. And as somebody who's run an agency a couple times and now running, you know, that's bad. But it is something that I am actively and have continually worked on getting better at.
CeCe, what have been some of your big successes?
Oh, I mean, the cliche thing to say is my kids. I mean, they're growing up. They're teenagers right now, and they're starting to make those big decisions. And I look and I go, all right, I've done good with them. You know, building the advance guard is definitely one of my proudest moments. That was we did a lot of great work. You know, worked on the first 3 seasons of True Blood, doing marketing and Shark Week and all this other great stuff. Definitely publishing Content Rules. I mean, both books were amazing, but Content Rules now, I think we're in like 14 languages and just tens and tens of thousands of copies sold around the globe. And that just feels, the fact that Anne Hanley is my co-author and we wrote this book, we were both being approached to write like social media books. And Content Rules, we wrote this book that we said, we don't want this to ever go out of date. And there's not a lot of, and people have nicked us saying, you know, well, there's not a lot of how to and not a lot of technology in this book. And that was on purpose, because that stuff goes out of date. And just to know that this book, and to see that it's being used in classrooms around the world as a teaching thing, I look at that and I just, it still gives me pause to just be like, something I wrote has affected that many people is easily one of my crowning achievements. I mean, that just, when I stop and think about it, I look at that and it still amazes me to this day.
That's humbling.
Yeah, it's it really is. And it's it's really, it's so, every time, because, you know, in the publishing world, when a book comes out in a new language, they send you a couple copies of it, but it's way, way later, and they usually show up unannounced, and every so often I'll get this package, and I'll open it up, and it'll be, you know, it'll be my book in Turkish or something, and I'm like, how did this happen? I now have a bookshelf in my office of my books in other languages, and I look at that, and I just... It gives me – like I can't wait because Amazing Things Will Happen is coming out in Arabic soon. And I know when I see that, it's just going to blow my mind because I – you know, the kid in New Hampshire running around the woods, playing war, riding his bike, never ever – while I dreamt I was going to be an author or a writer of some sort, I certainly never thought it was actually going to happen.
Amazing. So, Cece, since you have helped so many people – what are some of the recurring themes that you see where other people get stuck?
In business or life? Or
Let's take business first. If we have time, we'll go to life too.
I think the first ones that come to mind is I think people get too hung up comparing themselves to other people or other businesses. They see company X or person Y is achieving all the success. Why am I not as successful as them? And I think that's really, we've all done it, but I think that's a dangerous thing because you're a different business. You're a different, even if you're in the same industry, you're in the same market, the same space, you're different. And to judge yourself on somebody else is a dangerous way to do it. Judge it on yourself. Are you going hungry? Are your bills paid? Is your company growing? Then be happy with that and work harder if you want more. I just think too many people get hung up in that. I also think too many people got fooled into thinking that social media was going to be their savior. Social media is a beautiful, loving, amazing thing, but it is still a tool, just like the radio was, just like your car is. I mean, it's a tool, and it's what you use it for. But I just think, you know, too many people thought it was going to solve their business woes, and they forgot the basics of marketing and communication, having a good product, having a good service. They just kind of thought social media was going to be their godsend. It was going to be like, hey, everything's better now. And that was really, really dangerous. And, you know, we're still stuck in that. I see it every day. And I think we need to push beyond that.
And where do you see people getting stuck in life?
Oh,
and I know you've written a book about this.
So yeah,
let's,
no, let, they
let's
just
talk about it a little bit.
No, I think it's one of those things. I think people get stuck in it because A, they see the grass is greener on the other side. They just assume it is, yet they don't know what it is they want. I don't know how many people I've talked to over the years who have said, "God, I hate my job," and I'm like, "Oh, what would you like to be doing better? Well, you know, what would you want?" I don't know. And I just – it's one of those things in life I think people always say – they always think things can be better than they are, yet they can't tell you what it is that they want to be doing more of. And the people who are happiest are the ones who have figured that out. And I hate when people say, well, you know, that's all fine and dandy, Cece, but not all of us can do that. I think anybody can. I just don't think it's going to be easy. Sometimes it takes years. In years and years, but at this, I mean, I just always hate when people say, "Well, that doesn't work for me," and I'm like, "Okay, but that's that." I think it could if you try. If you were dedicated enough, I think it could.
Do you think people enjoy change?
Oh hell no! Change is horrible. I think change hurts. Change is scary. Change is. I mean, just look at the world we live in right now. I mean, there's change and disruption happening around every corner. And it freaks people out. And no, I don't think anybody likes change at all because it is scary. It's awkward. It's messy usually. And I mean, I'm talking good change. Bad change is horrible. But I mean, change is a very, very scary thing. And, you know, fear is right there. And, you know, any sort of change, human instinct is to be scared first. And I think that's the way we're wired. It's the way we survived for years. And any business owner, any entrepreneur, anybody who wants to do something a little different has to learn to deal with change and how to deal with fear. You're still going to be scared. I get scared all the time. But you learn to cope with being uncomfortable. It doesn't make it any easier. You kind of get used to the fact of, all right, there are going to be some dark, dark days, and I'm going to push through it. And some are easier than others. But yeah, anybody who says change isn't scary is lying to you.
Good point. Good point. let's shift gears for a minute. Cece, okay. I know you're a very generous person, and you're on the you're a member of the board of two nonprofits, including being the president of the board of one of them. Why do you get so involved in causes?
Plain and simple, I was taught to leave the world better than I found it. My dad took me camping all the time growing up, and then scouts growing up, and we were always told when we went to a campsite that you leave it better than you found it. And I think it's critical for every single solitary person to give back in the world. And that doesn't mean writing a check. It means, well, that's great. Don't get me wrong. a lot of people are not in a place to write checks. I mean, I can't write checks as big as I would like to organizations I love, but every single one of us has skills, knowledge, and time that can help out resources, whether it's the PTO at your school, whether it's your church, whether it's a nonprofit, a soup kitchen, whatever it is. And I don't think enough, I really hate that there's not more of it. Like, I would love to see mandatory volunteerism in schools across the country. I would love to see every single solitary successful business person give back in some way, whether it's hiring an intern or a vet or, you know, hiring. There's a million different ways to do it. But it's the way I'm wired to give back. I've always said my dream job is I just want to get to a point where I don't have to worry about my bills. You know, everything's taken care of, you know, like win the lottery, and then I could just go help the world. And it wouldn't just be, you know, I still have to figure out a way to make money to pay my bills. But I would love to just spend all my time giving back. And I think the greatest thing, if you have never volunteered before in some way, it is the most rewarding feeling ever to get that thank you from that kid or that mother or that family that you helped, whoever it is you're volunteering for. There is just no better feeling.
Well said. Well said. Cece, what are you working on now that you're most excited about?
Well, in the last month, I've launched a new what I'm calling a conscious-based consultancy called Never Enough Days. And our sole focus is to take all my marketing experience and all my years in that space and use it for good. So we're working with companies big and small to develop marketing programs that are giving back to the world. And it's not just, hey, plus one, for every plus one or for every like, we'll donate a dollar. Those campaigns are boring. These are really engaging, content-rich campaigns that help out the world around us. And then we're also working with nonprofits and NGOs to help them with their marketing efforts and social responsibility. And I haven't been this passionate about something in a long, long time. And it kind of goes back to that thing where I just said, you know, I need to pay my bills and save the world at the same time. And Never Enough Days is hopefully how I'm going to do it. And it's starting out with, you know, a team of one of just me, hoping to grow it very, very soon, working with some great clients already. And I'm super, super excited because I've never started a business on my own. The Advance Guard, I had a partner. So this is something very, very new for me and very, very exciting.
Wow, that is exciting. All right, so we'll stay tuned.
Yes.
Cece, what's one of your favorite resources that has been most pivotal in your career?
You know, I knew this question was coming, and I kept trying to think of, like, what's one resource that, you know, that really nails it down? And I think it's going to be a cop-out, but the only thing I can come up with is the internet as a whole. And what I mean by that is I'm constantly consuming content via blogs and podcasts every single day that I'm consuming them, and that's been a resource because it's what I've always been on, kind of the bleeding edge and the head of the curve of a lot of things. And I attribute that to consuming from a large variety of resources. I read magazines like they're going out of stock, physical magazines. I have a stack of them 6 inches from me right now that I'm behind on reading, and they're from a variety of sources. The blogs I read are both personal blogs but also professional blogs, and they have to do with everything from photography to outdoorsmanship to menswear. I mean, and I'm not a fashion guy, but I like to read that stuff. So I think the best resource for me has been truly consuming a variety of content on a daily basis. And, you know, I've been called an information whore before because I'm constantly consuming stuff. And that's truly, I think the variety is the key part. Being exposed to that stuff and consuming it on a regular basis has helped my business because it gives me an open mind. It exposes me to new things, and plus gives me always gives me something to talk about at a cocktail party. That's for sure.
Well, look, the amount of information and the information data and the speed with which you can access it, it is so remarkable because of the internet.
Yeah,
I think it's changed everybody's lives.
I agree.
So, yeah, I agree. Cece, who do you know personally that's currently doing work that you're especially excited about?
One name instantly comes to mind, and that's AJ Leon. AJ is a nomad, him and his wife Melissa. I first met them at South by Southwest many years ago, and I've become super close friends with them. They run a company called Misfit Inc., and they just – the work AJ and his team does, AJ and Melissa both, are fantastic. He's got – they're, you know, they work with the Shakespeare Trust and they work with Citrix, but then they also – they dedicate 20% of their time to work on pro bono work for NGOs and nonprofits. Last year they built a windmill in Africa, and I'm blanking which country now off the top of my head. I feel bad for that. And they also run this handcrafted event called MisfitCon in Fargo, North Dakota. And I look at AJ and I'm blessed that he's become such a close friend. But the work he does, he's so passionate about it. He never cuts corners, whether it's, you know, building a website for Citrix or if it's, you know, building a fundraising page. Or last year he wrote a book and he ended up Kickstartering it because he wanted to make sure the paper was the right quality and knew a publisher wouldn't care about that. He lives a purposeful life. And besides being a friend, he inspires me every single day, and my world and the world as a whole is better because AJ and Melissa Leon are in it.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Cece, please tell listeners how they can learn more about you.
Sure. So the easiest place to find me online is at cece-chapman.com. I'm on all the social networks. You can find me on all those as well. And please definitely check out my new company, Never Enough Days, which is at neverenoughdays.com.
Great, great. Cece, thank you for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been Cece Chapman, who is the best-selling author and an agile performance-based marketer. Thank you again, Cece, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.